Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. We've just gone through another Olympic cycle. Did you notice that there were lots of competitors? How do you get to be a winner? In life, there are two ways of getting to the top. They are really opposed to one another. We see these two options across the work spectrum, across the educational world, and indeed even within the church. You see, we have the option of climbing over everybody else and standing on their broken bodies as we reach for the sky. Or we have the opportunity to work with others and build the equivalent of a human pyramid and reach the top with the help of others. What does God's Word have to say about strategies for growth and life in the church? The letter to the Philippians has much to say. We're looking at Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The central question is this: how should we live when we come into the body of Christ? The answer, the letter to the Philippians explains, be like-minded, understanding the unity of Christ. Let's begin looking at what it means to be a Christian by looking at Christ. Understand the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ sought no superiority. He was God, part of the Trinity from before the creation of the world. He had no desire to be superior, the superior one in that Trinity. He was willing to give it all up to carry out God's plan for redemption. He sought no position. He put aside his godhood. Philippians does not say that he stopped being God. It does say that he did not rely on his position. He voluntarily did not lay claim to his position. He took the form of a bond servant, one who has no authority but only the obligation to serve, to follow someone else's directions. The plan was to pay the price for sin. The plan was to buy mankind back, to redeem him for the cost necessary. The cost was death, because the wages of sin is death. And to die, he had to become human. He came in human likeness. Notice that Jesus Christ sought no excuse. When push came to shove, he did what humans did. He died. He did not die an easy death. He died a miserable death. With the cross, you knew death was coming. With the cross, each breath reminded you of your humanity. The Easter lament, he could have called 10,000 angels, was true. But our Lord Jesus was true to putting aside his Godhead for you and me and all of mankind. He and human followers and spiritual followers, he never called on them. He had them. He literally was separated in his humanity and from the Trinity itself. My God, he said, why have you forsaken me? The point? Christ could have been first, but he was willing to be last. He could have put everyone and everything in its place, but he allowed those things to maintain their station. He was willing to be fully human and to submit the limitations to the limitations that the least of us must endure. Why? Because of God's plan for our salvation. We must understand God's plan in Christ. God made him superior. That's why the human Jesus could fulfill God's plan. The first man, we call him the first Adam, he succumbed to sin and the snares put forth by Satan. Satan wanted to take God's place. Satan wanted to subvert mankind and enticed him into rebellion against God. The second Adam, Jesus, did not submit to Satan's enticements. God honored the Adam that did not rebel. The honor surpassed even Satan's original intents because God gave Jesus Christ position. The place given Jesus encompasses all beings, heavenly, earthly, life, and death. Regardless of position in the universe, all must honor Jesus. God elevated him to the top. Jesus' triumph is as plain as the nose on your face. Every being must recognize Jesus' position, whether that being wants to or not. Recognition of Jesus' position brings glory and recognition to God, the Trinity to which Jesus belongs. Here's the point. The pre-incarnate Christ, the one present in the Trinity before the world began, accomplishes God's plan and is recognized by God and declared the top one. God elevates Jesus Christ, the person who is most humble, to the most elevated position. No one will be able to deny that position. Well, what does this mean to the believer? We in the church have no superior member. We are called to think like Jesus. Same love, same agreement, same mind. We are called to be in Christ with one another. We all want to excel in one way or another, but because of our love for Christ, we must recognize the truth. We have no superior position over any other Christian. There is not to be the desire or activity of climbing over another believer. There is not to be selfishness. There is not to be the pride of deeming oneself better than another. You see, because of Jesus Christ, we have no excuse. Our focus is not to be on ourselves and our desires. Our focus is not to be on tearing another down. Our focus is to be on building another one up. This is why Philippians says, verse 2, there is consolation in Christ alone. Give up on works of alienation and separation and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Give up, verse 3, selfish ambition and conceit. Instead, esteem others better than yourself. Verse 4 is a good summary. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. The point? The focus in the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, is on building one another up, not taking one another down. Knowing Jesus Christ means that we are friends and colleagues of other believers, seeking their good, not only our own. How can we apply these words from Philippians? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, be like-minded. Have the same love. Be of one accord and be of one mind. Esteem others better than yourself. Look out for the interests of others. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you got a Bible? No? Give us a call at 945-1076 for a complimentary paperback New King James Version Bible. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish his will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Cherala. We used to call the Dalit people the untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Cherala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.